This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. John, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, Jesus loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason Jesus said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had finished washing their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, Jesus said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Reggie rings the doorbell of his childhood home. 20 years have passed since he last stood here. He rings a fourth time, loudly saying, "Dad, Mom, I know you hear the doorbell. I know that you know it's me. I know that we've done this before. But I am clean now. I'm sober for nearly a year. Please, just open the door. It's different this time. I promise. Let's talk." In silence, Reggie waits for an answer that never comes. Angela stands there, anxiously waiting in the administrator's office. It is Friday, 4:45. The admin's desk phone buzzes. It's the company's owner. Angela's wait is over. She steps inside the owner's office. Another person is present, someone Angela never gets to know. For almost as soon as she closes the door behind her, the owner's words begin to sting and numb her. "Angela, your services are no longer required. Your belongings, which are being gathered as we speak, will be waiting for you at the clerk's desk when you leave. Please sign this non-disclosure agreement." Rejection is part of our human story. Maybe our experience of rejection isn't quite as jarring as what either Angela or Reggie experience. Still, we reject even as we are rejected. Broken people break people. Rejected people reject other people. Sometimes we hurt one another. Occasionally, how we hurt one another makes reconciliation impossible. I have officiated many funerals where wounded people cannot, do not, or will not attend either the visitations or the services on account of deep, long-standing hurt. This happens because apart from divine intervention, reconciliation sometimes is just impossible. There comes a time in our human experience where we may hear or we may say, "You have no share with me." When Jesus says these words, our Lord does says and so shows us something really rather different. It's actually so remarkably different because it's so remarkably gracious, so much so that we can barely grasp it. Jesus loves. Simply put, Jesus loves. Now, I realize that for churchgoers such as yourselves, to hear that Jesus loves doesn't seem particularly remarkable or maybe particularly remarkably gracious because it's just not new news. Still, slow down. Imagine how hard it is to operate out of love when you know that soon you will die. Soon, one of your closest friends will betray you. Soon, those who profess to love you are going to murder you. Even while knowing all of this, Jesus never commands fire from heaven to consume the lot of them. Instead, Jesus rises from the table, disrobes, wraps a towel around his waist, pours water into a basin, then begins to wash his friend's feet. It's so countercultural, so incredible, that Simon Peter loses his countenance, saying, "You'll never wash my feet." To which Jesus responds, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." There it is. Unless I wash you, you have no share with me. Does Jesus say, "Get behind me, Satan"? No, Jesus does not. But at least if we get behind Jesus, aren't we still in relationship with Jesus? Yet to have no share with Jesus, that's a relationship breaker. Jesus offers a relational ultimatum. Unless I wash you, you have no share with me. As people familiar with rejection and brokenness, aren't we familiar with this kind of remark? While this isn't quite my way or the highway, Jesus makes it clear that Peter will be the cause of the breakup, the source of his own rejection, the cause of his own brokenness. Peter will fracture the relationship by refusing the unconditional act of love that Jesus offers. And it goes the same for us, too. It's rather hard to grasp a love that goes to such lengths. It can leave one feeling rather queasy, this realization how God's love comes to us by scrubbing our worn, achy, smelly feet. It's tough to grasp because we know deep down inside that we don't deserve it. We realize how imperfect Peter will deny Jesus, although he doesn't know it. Still, on some level, here, Peter is confronted with the saving love of Jesus and is responding out of his own sense of unworthiness. Isn't it far easier to say, "You'll never wash me," than to say, "Don't touch me, Lord, I'm sinful"? Still, Jesus says, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." It's what Jesus says to Peter, and it is what Jesus says to us. We are not perfect. In fact, we are critically flawed. Still, Jesus loves us. No matter what sins we have committed, these are never a barrier to the love of Jesus. Tonight, Jesus will not terminate our position and ask us to sign a non-disclosure agreement. Tonight, Jesus will not leave us on the doorstep hungering for another chance. Tonight, Jesus values us where we are. Tonight, Jesus loves us where we are. As Jesus says to us, "Let me wash you. Let me soothe your worn, achy, smelly feet. Let me go lower that you go higher. Let me give myself for you. Let me be your Lamb of God who takes away the sin of your world. Let me be your Paschal Lamb, your Passover feast. Let my suffering cup be your salvation cup. I will never say you're dead to me. Even if you cannot love me fully, I will always fully love you. That's the point. Jesus fully loves us. Jesus never loves us because we change. It's the love of Jesus that empowers us to change. That love is our game changer. Jesus says, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. It's a tall order that basically means that we will struggle to live into that love our whole life long. Sometimes we will take 3 steps forward and 2 steps back. Still, that game does change. When in Jesus Christ, we really do wash each other's feet by taking that new commandment to heart, by acknowledging, yes, 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 maybe you are a stinker, but unless I empty myself for you, then you have no share with me. I need to serve you. I need to love you like Jesus loves you, like Jesus loves me. In living out that love within our relationships, people will know that we are disciples of Jesus. In letting yourself be loved, you let people know that you are the living mission of Jesus. In seeing and knowing such love, people see and know Jesus. Such love is the antidote for the rejection we have caused and the rejection we have faced. Sure, we've been told by others, you have no share with me. If not, give it time. Even if it seems painfully unfair and unjust, some part of us knows deep down how we are not so perfect that we do not need to be washed. It's good for us to know this, even better to let ourselves be cleansed by the blood of Jesus, who on the night in which he was betrayed, did not leave it there. In brokenness, in rejection, in betrayal. Love did not leave it there. You are loved freely, unconditionally, and self-sacrificially by Jesus. Now go and love freely, unconditionally, and self-sacrificially. Jesus gives us this command, not a law, a command. One that Jesus says, we will be blessed if we do it. And we are blessed. So let's continue to live this command together and to be blessed as we do it. Amen.